If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Okay, so we're breaking from format a little bit right now, and we're just going to talk about O'Mary, which by the time this episode comes out,
there will have been like
a lot of Marys. A lot of Marys. Uh-huh. We're recording this early.
This is like right before our Christmas break.
Right? That's right. Mm-hmm. So,
and what more could be celebratory of the holidays than
Mary Todd Lincoln. Uh-huh. You and I saw O'Mary.
We did.
We saw Cola Scola in
right.
O'Mary.
The originator. Yep.
And the creator mm-hmm. and the writer. Brilliant. Cola Scola. Been a big fan of Cola Scola for a long time. Uh-huh. We were both fans of Difficult People.
We were.
Ugh. God loved Difficult People.
Yeah.
That was like early on in our friendship.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things we did bond over was our love for 30 Rock
right.
and, you know, Parks and Rec and those two particular shows. But then Difficult People came out and we
right.
were like, oh, my God, this show.
And that Billy Eichner, huh?
That Billy Eichner, indeed. Right. So Cola Scola was on Difficult People and Cola Scola has created O'Mary, which I mean, we are not being paid to say this, but we just loved it. And we were just
it's
like,
one of the funniest
we
things
were
I've ever seen
about it. And mm-hmm. we were like, OK, we're starting the episode with this because why not? It is one of the funniest things I've ever mm-hmm. seen. Mm-hmm. It is a funny piece of theater. Well made play. Mm-hmm. Well created play. Like everything about it just is like so
top notch.
Top notch. Difficult People and 30 Rock and O'Mary, they're three really solid examples of things that, and this is my kind of humor, and I know that it's also your kind of humor, but like things that take very seriously how stupid they are.
Yeah.
Right? Like Clue, another great example of just like something that just, it takes very seriously how stupid it is.
All of those things are like to the very far end of farcical. They
yeah.
push the envelope there. It's like we're grounded in reality, but it's the zaniest sort of reality you could actually ever imagine. And so that's part of the fun of it. And I think this sort of reimagined telling of history also makes things even more fun because you obviously know, you know, if you are a person that's alive and went to school, hopefully have some grounding
in America,
in who Abe Lincoln was and a little bit about Mary Todd.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't learn anything about Mary Todd in school. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he had a wife named Mary Todd. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Well, that's all you needed to learn.
And that's all you need to know
that's right.
going into this
exactly.
play. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You do not need to know anything else.
You don't. No.
I do like the idea of the fact that Cole did not research anything
no.
to write this play. Mm-mm. Because this is not a play about Mary Todd.
No.
This is a play about a concept of, well, what if Abe Lincoln's assassination was not a bad thing for Mary Todd Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, that yeah. is what Cole says. Mm-hmm. But it's way more interconnected and like twisted together in a way that is lovely and beautiful and demented.
And well thought out.
I have been going back and back again to see it.
Yeah.
And I probably will continue to do that as new Marys come in too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you find yourself in New York,
get yourself the hot ticket to O'Mary.
Go to the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center mm-hmm. first and foremost, and then maybe go see O'Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking looking for adventure. I want to follow on the trail or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky. Don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land also known as Death Valley National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Kauai Sioux and Western Shoshone people.
All right, if you joined us last time, you listened to our episode on Yuba Hebe Crater, and this episode is a continuation of that day. So, in Death Valley fashion, at least from when we were there, because we were experiencing temperatures that were reaching into the low hundreds, our plan was to hike as early as possible all
That's things. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And typically what we were trying to do was get into elevation early so that we were up high when it was warmer because mm-hmm. it's cooler up higher.
Mm-hmm.
But this day was not really about hiking up high.
No.
This was about hiking things that were lower to the ground.
Yeah.
So we had just hiked Yuba Hebe Crater and the crater system there. And now we were headed to the other side of the park or closer to where we were staying at Furnace Creek to hike Mosaic Canyon.
Mosaic Canyon is actually up the hill, literally from Stovepipe Wells.
That's
you
right.
You can see from the parking area Stovepipe Wells, which is kind of like RV lodge pool.
That's
showery.
Right. And there's a pool and a shower, and we were in it all the time while we were there in Death Valley because we needed to cool off.
We were staying at a primitive campsite that didn't have showers.
No showers. Yeah. We drive from Yuba Hebe Crater down to Stovepipe Wells. I was driving that time, mm-hmm. and I was driving from there to there. We essentially get to Stovepipe Wells, turn off, and we head up a dirt road. And we drive up the dirt road, and immediately it's a pretty rough dirt road.
Yeah, this was kind of akin to what it was like to drive up to Natural Bridge, which we talked about in our Small Trails episode. I was very impressed with your driving here because I wouldn't have wanted to drive it because it was a rough, rough road for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was about 2 miles of rough dirt road, and it was bumpy, but it was doable. And then we finally get to the parking lot, which by the time we got there, pretty full parking lot.
Well, we were there probably like 10 a.m. ish. It wasn't fully overhead sun at this point, but we anticipated probably by the end of the hike, we'd be hiking back in like full overhead, like noonday sun. We were a little late here only because we drove all the way out to Yuba Hebe and came back. And there was some considerable transit time between both of those spaces.
So we gear up and we head out. Now, Mosaic Canyon it starts out with what we're going to call the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The mouth is this huge open section that like narrows in that you like walk into. The parking lot is this very wide area and people are parked on either side. And so we were parked, you're pretty much full exposure here. We get our gear on.
Kind of the whole time, honestly.
And what I remember at this time is that I needed to go to the restroom and needed a green room real bad.
Yeah, and you were going to have to wait, unfortunately.
We are headed in to the mouth of this trailhead. We start to hike in. It's very flat, but it's also very gravelly and a rocky walk-in.
Eventually, it starts to narrow as we come into the canyon proper. And immediately on the right is a natural wall, which features breccia, which is a type of rock formation that's caused by mud and other materials coming together and compounding into one large rock. It's very easy to see that these smaller rocks have all been collected into this kind of like larger formation. It almost reminded me of like aggregate and cement.
Which is partly, I think, why this trail or this place gets its name, Mosaic Canyon, because of the breccia. And that's the thing to really look for on this trail is that breccia, because it is all of these smaller rocks coming together to make one larger rock. And they are sort of fused together in this mosaic style. We continue on through and soon it gets very narrow.
And curvy.
I'm really huffing it because I'm looking for a green room, and there's no real green room in this narrow, curvy area because there's people coming and going. There was no way to get any privacy.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar with the term green room, it's a term that means outdoor bathroom or nature bathroom.
A restroom space.
A restroom space.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you and Becky and Cynthia are behind me, and y'all are hiking in, and I am hoofing it. We make a few curves through some very flat stone, and clearly, like, water has flowed through here, causing these rock faces to become, like, incredibly eroded and very sort of soft and slick.
And smooth.
Very smooth.
But not without, like, striations throughout them, too. Like, this was a very interesting, like, you could almost feel the water moving through here based off of the edges of the canyon space that you're walking through. And it definitely takes some navigating on the smooth rock to make sure we have good footing. Hiking poles proved, even at the beginning, to be helpful for this trail, especially because it was a lot to, like, slug through at the initial stages. One could totally do this trail without hiking poles. We were definitely glad that we had them.
Soon, we get to a big open area. And this is, like, what we'd call, like, the second section of this trail is this big open area. It was huge. It was beautiful. It was expansive. There are gorgeous orange and green rock formations to the left. And then, like, kind of like rock island in the center of this big open area. And there were some downward sloping orange rock to the right.
This was incredibly expansive to just feel like if there was water here, this would have felt a little bit more like a lake, whereas the canyon that we had come through would have felt a little bit more like a stream or a river. The more we continue, the more expansive it gets. And we are in very high sun at this point. So we were trying, at least I know Cynthia was, anytime that there was shade along the edge of something, like a cliff wall, she was trying to stay in that shade as much as possible. But despite the overhead sun, like we had talked about on Yuba Hebe, kind of as the sun came up, it sort of eroded the shadowing on the rivulets that we were seeing. Here, we're much closer to the formations that are around us. It's fascinating to see, even in this very full sun, all of the various colors that are here, and being able to see sort of how the trail continues, especially because there are people in the distance that are further up on this kind of big, wide open area.
And this is also where I was able to find a green room.
Right.
Which, FYI, if you're doing Mosaic Canyon, you get to the big open area over to the right, there's a sort of a trail that people don't take. That is a perfect area for green rooms. So we're here in this big open area. Just past the rock island, there is this gorgeous view of the mountains in various colors in the distance. And then there's like a small trail over some small dunes. The trail here is ultimately curving to the right. We want to continue on the trail. Eventually, it leads us into a wash with a ridge on the right.
And the ridges here also have some, there are people that are climbing up on top of the ridge. There was a lot that you could do here. The wash and the big open expanse, you could kind of make your own trail here. And some people had chosen to be a little bit more active and climb up and over some specific things. But we walk the wash. There are these giant orange rock formations envelop us as we continue up. They continue to kind of force us to curve to the right. As we continue to go to the right, that open area, that wash, start to narrow back down. This is where, based off of the turn of the canyon, we do get a little bit more relief from the shade.
So at this point, the wash gets a little bit thinner, and we continue on, which is now sort of going upward, a slight incline here, and soon we encounter a huge boulder, and it looks like it has fallen just like right in the middle of the trail. So we see this boulder. I'm sure when you hike it, you'll see it too.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
We continue around and go past this boulder. And then the walls on the left begin to narrow and get a little pitched out. And some of the stone on the left looks wet, though it's not wet. But no. It just kind of looked like it was.
Yeah, it had like a slick appearance to it. The wall on the right is all these broken pieces of rock, which slants upward. There's a lot of feel here with the rocks of like a mosaic type look to things.
Yes.
We do see some more boulders that look like they've fallen in the wash as we continue up, and we have to navigate them, but there's an arrow, so we assume that we have to maybe head forward because it looks like you could probably like heave yourself up over these boulders. It kind of looks just like they'd fallen, but like there would be a way to navigate. But as we got closer, there's a rock cairn arrow, similar to what we experienced when we were in Golden Canyon, which seems to be the case in Death Valley. The rangers have marked out using stones, creating creating arrows on the ground.
Literally, they have taken stones mm-hmm. and shaped them into the shape of an arrow.
Yep. And that points us not straight ahead, but to the left. And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, Mike, what game are we playing today?
Okay, so we're playing this game called Celebrity.
Celebrity.
And Celebrity is...
Not to be confused with Salad Bowl, which also goes by the name Celebrity.
Right, but it's sort of a riff on the game Celebrity.
So, okay.
I'm going to try to get you to guess a character from pop culture, from media.
Okay.
Or just like someone who is actually living by giving you three clues. The first clue will be an item, and if you can guess that character based off of the item, great. The next clue will be a phrase, like something they say, like a soundbite. And then the last clue would be another character that would be associated with them.
Okay.
So it's like, how quickly can you guess?
Do you only have one?
No, I have a few.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Great. Let's go.
For our first celebrity, the item is a slingshot.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Incorrect.
Okay.
The phrase is, don't have a cow, man.
Rick Moranis.
No.
Okay.
And the sidekick is Milhouse.
Oh. Is it someone from the Goonies?
Not from the Goonies.
Is it someone from The Outsiders?
No, they're a cartoon character.
Oh. Milhouse. Is it Pinky and the Brain?
No.
I don't know.
Who's Bart Simpson?
Girl, I do not watch The Simpsons. The Simpsons missed me. That boat came and went. I never got on it.
Okay.
Well, I just want you to know. That's why I don't know.
Journey on.
I know. No, I don't have anything against it. I think mm-hmm. it's what I have seen. It's obviously funny and very smart.
And it tells the future.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Our next celebrity is, the item would be a pair of gloves.
Queen Elizabeth.
No.
Okay.
The phrase would be into the unknown.
Okay. Idina Menzel.
Well, but we're looking Elsa. For the character. Yeah. Yeah.
Elsa.
And the sidekick would be Olaf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So do you understand what we're doing?
I get
here?
It.
You get it?
Understand. Okay.
And our last celebrity for today.
I'm ready.
The item is a key.
Wait, hold on. A key.
A ring of keys.
Nicole Kidman.
Why a key for Nicole Kidman?
Well, she was in that movie that then later became a show based on that book series you liked to read.
Big Little Lies?
No.
Oh.
It was like an adventure way series.
Oh, Golden Compass?
Golden Compass. A key made me think of a compass.
Okay. The quote would be, he that lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas.
Scar.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
This is actually a real person this time.
Okay.
And I think as we're figuring this game out, I will have to give you that as we go on.
Okay.
Yeah. And our sidekick would be Thomas Paine.
Oh, it's Ben Franklin.
That's right. That's a callback to last episode.
There we go.
And that's Celebrity.
I like it.
Yeah.
So we now encounter a series of four scrambles, meaning hands and feet, scrambles,
mm-hmm.
which I was not expecting on this trail.
No.
But alas, here they are. They yeah. showed up. The first one is kind of tough. Each one of these proved to be a team effort. We all had to help each other. The first one, there was definitely a lot of like, toss the hiking poles up, climb up, help somebody up,
yep.
get them their hiking poles again. So there was a lot of that here.
There were some shoulder issues with some of our party, myself included. So like the hoist up was part of the issue
That's
too.
Right.
So it was trying to get people up so that they were doing it safely and not injuring themselves further was a big concern here.
So we do this for four scrambles. Mm-hmm. These four scrambles finally lead us into what is called the dry fall area. There is an area that looks like a waterfall would be there if water were flowing through it. However, there's no water there, so they call it a dry fall.
After turning the corner and seeing this dry waterfall about 200 feet down the wash, it looks like that's where we're supposed to head. But again, surprise, there's another arrow on the ground that's like, no, this is not what you're doing. You're not going to like try to traverse and climb up that wash because it would have been too difficult to do.
Way too difficult.
And we know this too because we eventually would see it from above and like the crest of it. So there's another arrow, a Karen arrow on the ground, and it points us to the right. This is kind of pointing us up like a rock fall with some quick incline here, and it levels to bring us above and parallel to the wash that's below.
What we have to do is go up and over the dry fall rather than like climb up the dry fall. Like we have to go up
and
around it.
Yeah.
So we do this. We head up the rock fall and there's immediately incline here. It does level off eventually and it does put us above and it comes a little parallel, but we're hiking along it and we get to the end of the section and then it brings us.
We decline basically.
We decline and descend back into the wash. There is another Karen arrow down there that leads the way to where we go next. At this point, we could literally stand atop the dry fall
and look down. Yeah. It was some height. It would be fun to rappel down this, but
yeah.
not fun to climb up it.
Or yeah. jump. Yeah. No, you'd no. hurt yourself or
oh,
break
yeah.
something.
Oh, yeah.
Now we are in the last leg of this trail, which is the wash that is going to bring us to the terminal point.
Mm-hmm.
So we head up the next section of the wash. Becky points out this rock that looks like the painting of the Scream. It's up and to the left. She tells us that the next big thing that we will be on this trail is what gives it, like we're about to see something that like gives it its name. We come upon this slick gray rock wall, which we have to climb up and on the left.
And then we see another face in the rock here. I mean, it was like, it felt like the Gnome King's mountain
with
all the freaking gnomes attacking Dorothy and company from Return to Oz.
It's true.
If you want a terrifying nightmare-fueled film that still haunts my dreams and gives me all the warm feelings, watch Return to Oz, folks.
He loves Return
to
Oz.
I do. Mm-hmm. From this point, continue up and are really starting to feel the heat. We're in full sun here. There's a lot less shade. The sun is directly overhead. When the canyon curves, there definitely is opportunity for us to find a little bit of shade, but it's just kind of the radiating heat of the day at this point too. And at this point, the trail is feeling like it's been going on forever, mostly because it's a lot of trudging on loose stone, especially when you're in the wash, and it just has started to become hot. It feels very, very long for what essentially is a 1.7 mile hike out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only 1.7
yeah,
miles out.
Yeah.
This is a shorter trail, but because we're closer to the middle of the day now, it's warm, starting to get warm, and we're starting to feel it. We see two hikers who say the end is just around the corner. And for the first time in trail history, this information was correct. It was, yeah. in fact, around the corner. Because most of the time when people say that, they're wrong.
Yeah. It's like,
and it's like another 45 yeah. minutes.
Uh-huh. So as we turn the corner, there is the terminal point, which is another pour over. And it's this stunning dry waterfall with a rock slide and dry rocks on the other side.
The thing that I think makes this special is the Karen they've put here. They have created and put a lot of Karens on the trail to like point you in the right direction. And then to let you know you've made it to the terminal point, they've literally written out the word end
yeah.
in rocks,
mm-hmm.
in stones mm-hmm. at the very end. So we decide we're going to hang out here and this is where we're going to do lunch. So previous to this, we did all of Yubihibi Crater and then we hiked all the way out here. So it was time for lunch.
Yeah.
We sit down. There was like a long rock where it was like perfect for sitting. So we plop down there and we get out our sandwiches and like get to town. And for a while, we have the place entirely to ourselves.
Was like, gosh, I would love to climb up that dry waterfall and see what's up top there. But obviously that's not something we did. Becky had mentioned that she thought that the mosaic part of the canyon was here, but she thinks maybe we missed it at an earlier juncture in the trail.
Or that maybe it's the breccia from the beginning of
the
trail.
Sure, exactly. Either way, the textures of the walls here and the formations that are obviously carved by mostly water, thank you erosion, obviously some wind had some part too, really are just stunning. There's really not a bad view on this trail. It's very interesting the entire way. After sitting here for a while and eating lunch, we have two other hikers that arrive. They're both wearing matching shirts, and we, against what usually is our better judgment, ask them to take a photo of the four of us in front of this dry waterfall.
And with that, let's take our next break. Okay, I'm going to do this because I know what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Thetis and Gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Popper dishes indeed.
Who is Popper Dishes?
Well, Popper Dishes, she's got to be she is
her name is Popper.
Popper,
like,
but it sounds
Popper,
like
no.
It
yes.
sounds like Piper.
It does, but Popper.
Popper. So she's clearly a queen that gossips, but I think she's also like a catering queen. It's
oh
like
my God.
Catering and gossip.
So when you mm-hmm. go to her show, it's fully catered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what would be fun is if your little napkin that you have at your table just has some little gossip information.
Oh,
on it.
Little secrets. I'm thinking of Clue. It's like, what's the line about being paid in government secrets?
Mm-hmm. I can be paid in government information. It's from Miss Scarlett.
Communism is a red herring.
It's just a red herring.
No, but I do think she does. She puts a little gossip about someone else that's sitting at your table. And I feel like it could actually be a fun game. Like, I feel like the gossip is not...
real.
No. It is real gossip, but it's more of like... It's not salacious. It's just like, this person at the table had... It would be like some kind of like trivial little bit of gossip. And then it's like a mystery and you'd have to decide who that person is.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I think there's a game involved in it.
It sounds like it. If she's going to be like a little dishy queen,
mm-hmm.
why
little
not?
Dishy queen, little fishy dishy queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think obviously she is peddling secrets and dinner.
She's peddling secrets indeed.
And dinner. What is she singing? And don't say Yakety Yak.
No, well, she wouldn't sing Yakety Yak. Well, what's the song, Rumors?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably that.
Mm-hmm. I think it could also be Voices Carry. Mm. Do you know that song?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one. If we're going for like 80s,
we
70s,
are.
80s
it sounds
rock.
Like it.
I think Voices Carry would be a great one.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Popper dishes.
We decide to wrap up lunch. We start to head back.
And as we do, we immediately see a hiker in a Let's Go Brandon hat.
Yeah, let's mm-hmm. talk about this mm-hmm. for a second. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. No. And I made an audible reaction mm-hmm. to this when we saw it. I was like, ugh, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. when we kept walking away.
Yeah.
Because how dare you come into a national park
yeah.
space of all places yep. touting that messaging.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Go somewhere else. Go to your little MAGA meetings.
Yeah.
Because, like, we do not want it here. We mm-hmm. like our natural spaces, and we understand that those natural spaces need the people in order to keep up the natural spaces.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
and
your
the
movement
budget
has
in order to do that
totally
and
decimated that.
Correct.
So,
I'm sorry, it is counterintuitive mm-hmm. for you to be a MAGA supporting Let's Go Brandon type of Republican and also exploring a national park,
mm-hmm.
and that's just the deal.
Yep. Whoops, hot take.
I don't have any qualms about saying that
no,
whatsoever.
I'm not.
That
no.
is the deal right now.
Yeah, it is.
No,
absolutely.
You cannot support the parks and the
current administration,
the public
at
spaces
the same time.
And the public lands that we have here in America while also supporting this administration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Yep. So anyway, that being said, we do pass back by the initial dry fall and we again head up and over it and parallel to the wash that's below. And at this point, I'm a little ahead and I spot two chuckwallas on the trail. And we had seen some other smaller lizards along the way, but these were some big guys that were here hanging out. Eventually, we head back down this sloped area that we had come up right near the Arrow Rock Cairn, and then we have to go back through our section of scrambles. There are spots on the scrambles here on the way down that are a little trickier only because the rock is very smooth. And this comes obviously from water that had once flowed through this, and also people that have been sliding down or just using this as a way up and down over time.
Yeah. When it comes to sliding down these scrambles, we do this sometimes when it makes sense mm-hmm. to do it. But sometimes they're quick slides. But we were tossing our hiking poles and making our way down, getting our hiking poles again. We make our way back to the big open area, the small ridge and the little rock island. It's to our left. I think I green roomed again.
Yeah.
And then we continue into the series of curves.
We do make it back to the mouth eventually after winding back through. And as we're walking, I think that's when Becky's like, oh, I do think this initial section is what the mosaic, the breccia is sort of what's giving it the mosaic name. So we do have that kind of moment of realization, you know, after I had kind of pointed out a little bit of that spotting on the left, you know, we all decide must be exactly what Mosaic Canyon gets its name from.
We wrap up things here at Mosaic Canyon. We head out, and the choice was one of two things. We could either go directly to Stovepipe Wells and
get in the pool,
get in the swimming pool and like cool off.
Because it was hot. This is like high sun.
So hot.
This was our hottest day, I think, of hiking.
Or right near this area is some sand dunes, like some naturally formed sand dunes mm-hmm. that are just here that are wind formed.
Yeah.
And we could go hike out onto those.
They're essentially across the street a little further down from Stovepipe Wells. And so I was like, well, we're here. We should do it. And I also
and
really
I'm not going to lie. The three of us were like, okay, we're just going to indulge him on this. We don't really want to do this. Because, I mean, at this point, sand dunes are sand dunes are sand dunes. We've been to Great Sand Dunes. We've been to Indiana Dunes. We've also been to White Sands. So we've certainly seen sand dunes. These don't even compare to any of those. But alas, you wanted to go, so we went.
Whatever Mikey wants, Mikey gets.
Apparently.
So we head back and we start down the road to Stovepipe Wells, go a little further down the road, and do the pull off into the parking lot. There were a lot of people here. For it being as hot as it was, I was surprised at how many people were in this parking lot.
And when I say it was hot, it was so hot, especially because basically we pull up, we've still got all of our gear on, we haven't changed out of our boots. Mm-mm. We get right out and we head right onto some sand dunes.
Yeah.
And when I tell you the heat reflecting up off of that sand was so much, and there were people out there without shoes on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing? I mean, there was that story that Cynthia and Becky told us about the person out here in Death Valley who in the middle of the summer had like fallen asleep, or he ended up in the middle of the sand dunes and had walked out there when it was cooler and didn't have his shoes, and then had to walk back during the high heat and like significantly burned
his
feet.
Yeah.
Yikes.
We did see, too, when we were here, because the dunes, I think, are a popular location to go out in the evening time, similar to Badwater Basin. There was a sign or two that was like, beware of sidewinders, because there are apparently snakes. There's a lot of crepuscular animals and nocturnal animals that are here in the dunes. And obviously, they're avoiding the high heat of the day and coming out when it's a little cooler at night. As we're heading out, we do walk through some rocks at the beginning of the dunes, and we are quickly on the dunes proper. There really isn't a necessary stopping point that we're headed for. We're just kind of exploring a little bit. One of the neat things here, though, about the dunes is that there was kind of like clay on the surface of the dunes. There were like these deposits that were like hardened bits of earth. So that was very different from any dune situation that we'd ever seen before, whether it was Indiana, White Sands, or Great Sand Dunes.
My favorite part of this was
turning around.
Cynthia, our friend Cynthia, who we love very much. Mm-hmm. We got, I don't know, like a few hundred feet out, and she went, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning around here.
Because
you were like, let's keep going. Let's just keep going. And I was like, God, please, somebody stop her. And finally, Cynthia was like, we're turning around. And I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We turned around and we walked back, and it was like, let's get back to the car as quickly as we can. I remember we were singing ABBA in the car mm-hmm. at that point in time.
Well, it was a short trip over to Stovepipe, which was good because that's exactly how we decided to end our day, to beat the heat with a dip in the pool and a proper shower.
So let's put Mosaic Canyon on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah, that feels about right to me too. It's challenging in the fact that you are in a wash a lot of the time and the gravel is very loose. It's kind of like doing natural bridge. You're trudging a lot. You also, I think if it was maybe not the heat of the day, maybe a 3. But I think because there's all that trudging, there's some scrambling you have to do. It's not super difficult. It doesn't feel as difficult as our wash situation as far as like scramble and really heavy heat from the Golden Canyon loop. But there are parts of this that can be tricky. And so I think a 4 feels appropriate.
So 8 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're going to reduce that fraction,
mm-hmm.
4 out of 10, 2 out of 5
mm-hmm.
Karen Stones.
Mm-hmm. 1 out of 2.5.
There you go. All right. I'll get us started today with our Jeopardy style trivia.
Beautiful.
Are you ready?
Yep.
My trivia is inspired by the Arrow Karens.
Okay.
In this trail. I mean, they're all over Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of like famous signs in movies.
Okay.
And I specifically remember the sign from The Wizard of Oz. I'd turn back if I were you.
Mm-hmm.
From the
Witch's Forest.
The Witch's Forest. So this is I'd turn back if I were you rhyme time.
Oh, great.
So the phrase I'd turn back if I were you is the phrase you'll say each time, except the two words turn and back will be different.
Okay.
And those two words will rhyme with turn and back.
Got it.
So you're trying to come up with the phrase that you would say for this circumstance that rhymes with that phrase. Ready? Here we go. This is what you might say to someone who wants to memorize this resource book that is published every year that contains many things, including astronomical data and tide schedules.
I'd learn almanac if I were you.
That is correct.
Okay.
For 100. Great. So now we get how this goes,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
For 200. This is what you might say to someone who realizes the cold compress they pulled from the freezer is no longer cold and they want it to get cold again.
Well, I know like ice pack is the second part of it.
Currently, they're sitting there with the cold compress that they pulled from the freezer. So in order
to, I'd put back.
In order to get it back into the freezer, what would they have to do?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
We're out of time. It's I'd return ice pack if I were you.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay, great. So for 300, this is what you might say to an actor on their initial audition if they want to get a follow-up audition. Another way to phrase it might be, this is what you might say to an actor on their initial audition that they need to work very hard to get a follow-up audition, that they need to put in the work to get a follow-up audition.
Oh my God, I'm having difficulties today.
I mean, it's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
All right, we're out of time.
Okay.
The answer is I'd earn callback if I were you.
Got it. Okay.
Okay,
I think
great.
Because it's like some of them are like two syllables now, mm-hmm. and that's throwing me off.
I know.
Yeah.
You do that
I know
to me
it's
sometimes
hard,
in rhyme
right?
time too. And I'm like, I know. It does make your brain go crazy mm-hmm. a little bit. For 400, this is what you might say to the chief of an army to urge them to deeply consider the pros and cons of calling a surprise ambush on the enemy.
Well, I know attack is one of the words.
That is correct.
Uh-huh.
To deeply consider the pros and cons.
Oh my God. The first one is just killing me.
I know. Okay. Well, what we were looking for was
slogan
I'd
today.
Discern attack if
Got
I were
it.
You.
Okay.
And finally,
it's the two syllables
for 500. This is what you might say to a strange chef who likes to make butter out of strange things and has decided they want to make butter out of the sticky film found on unbrushed teeth.
I'd churn plaque if I were you.
There it is.
See, that I got because it was like a one syllable.
There you go.
Yeah. That's
All right.
it. 2 out of 3. Look at me. All right, well, my Jeopardy is inspired by the term mosaic, and a mosaic is often a piece together artwork that's done with multiple small pieces of tile. And so each of the answers to the clues here are going to be things that are pieced together from smaller things, or things that could be used to piece together a larger item. For 100, this toy, around since 1932, had interlocking pieces added to the design in 1949 and have been patented in its current form since 1958. Since then, these toys have been used to build everything from Star Wars spacecraft to the sets of Monica, Rachel, and Phoebe's apartment on Friends.
What is Legos?
Correct. For 200, seaweed, rice, vegetables, or fish are used to craft this uniquely beautiful food item that is rolled and cut into more manageable bite-sized pieces.
What is sushi?
That's correct. For 300, the women of G's Bend, Georgia are famous for these fabric items that involve the stitching together of smaller bits of fabric to create a larger design. While these items are functional and usable, often they are displayed as an art object, as is the case with the varieties created by the women of G's Bend.
What are quilts?
That's correct. For 400, these tiny dots of red, green, and blue are optically blended by your eye so that you can see the rich colors of your computer, phone, and television screen.
What are pixels?
Correct. And for 500, this art object is a combination of multiple items, sometimes similar, sometimes disparate, to create a larger three-dimensional artwork. The term for this type of artwork sounds like the word that would define putting something together, like furniture from IKEA.
What is assembly?
What is an assemblage? Yes.
An assemblage.
There you go. Good job. Better than me.
There we go.
Usually are.
Uh-huh.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at gazeatthenationalparks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.